Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You may be seated, but please remember that you're still seated with Christ in heavenly places, right? Okay, so it's just in the physical here. Okay. Praise the Lord. We have a motto month about evangelism, about reaching other people with the good news, about serving other people. And next Saturday, we also have our first Motto Month meetup, and you'll get more information at the info table. And a sign-up list will be there, too. That's, you know, to talk about this topic, talk about what we talked about in church. And our first speaker in our Motto Month is Barry Jensen. And praise the Lord. Most of you will know him. Yeah, you can come up already. It's yeah, that's good. That's more balanced. Now I feel more comfortable again. But, you know, he's one of those people. You know, we had a director's meeting of all the Rhema directors in Europe last week, and I just keep joking that I just love to sit in the same room and breathe the same air these people breathe. It's just, I'm just sitting there, I'm just going like, no, I'm not worthy. But all these other people, they just went and they just did so many great things for God by faith in their nation. So I just thought, what better way to kick this month off with someone that actually went out of their comfort zone, you know, just because they love people and they want to do stuff for God. So here's Barry.
Hallelujah. Glory, 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 glory. Praise the Lord. Praise God. What a good-looking bunch. Hallelujah. It is just a pleasure and honor to be here with you today. And right off the bat, we want to say thank you so much to Pastor Alex and Rebecca, and a special thanks to Miss Monica for helping us coordinate all this stuff. And of course, you know, she's got a lot of responsibilities, not only over Rhema Germany, but Rhema Europe, and gathering us together and organizing all these things for Pastor John and Michelle, and then of course for Jim and Sylvana and all the rest of the crew. Thank you so much for everything you folks do. There's such a vital part that all of you play here, this base for Rhema Europe. Even just as members of the church, if you're not involved in anything else, but just being a regular, faithful, plugged-in member here, there's so much you folks do to create an atmosphere for us to come here and be here with you guys. It's such a time of refreshing. I speak for all the directors when I tell you this. It is such a time of refreshing for us. It's a work week, obviously. But there's a time of rest and refreshing that we experience here together, a time of fellowship that you guys cover in prayer before we come. And I just want to say thank you so much for that, and for what you give here at the church that helps to create the opportunity for us to be here. You know, it's just amazing. Thank you so much for sowing seed, not only into our lives, but into the lives of all the directors of all these nations. You guys are sowing far beyond anything you could ever imagine. Amen. You won't know till we're over there, till we cross the threshold, how far what you have sown has caused a harvest. Amen. So thank you. Praise the Lord. So we got to jump right in because glory to God, we got two services today. Hallelujah. So we're going to get right into this, the subject of evangelism. It's just a pleasure to be here, you know, and to have that kind of a theme going on. To be honest with you, I'm not the most qualified, perhaps, to talk about this. My wife actually graduated from the evangelist group at Rhema. I graduated from teacher's ministry. So, you know, why we're on the mission field, I'm not quite sure. But anyhow, here we are, you know. And after nearly 25 years in the former Soviet Union. By the way, are there any Russian speakers in the room? Есть русские говорящие люди здесь, нет? Нет, ничего, ни один? Есть? Нет? Следующее служение. Okay, the next service they'll be here. Wonderful. I'll have a chance to speak with them a little bit. So, we've been over there for 25 years, coming on 25 years, and it's so much more, so much beyond anything we ever expected. I was a farm boy. I was raised in northwestern Minnesota, just about 200 kilometers from the Canadian border, and in a little farm town of about 700 people. Believe me, it was never even in my wildest imaginations, not even my nightmares. It was never anywhere near me that I would ever live in a foreign nation, much less the former Soviet Union. So to be there, to be doing what God is doing, to be hooked up with that, and to be being used by Him in that place and having such a profound effect as part of the Rhema family is just a phenomenal honor. And it's just wonderful to see what God is doing there. So just briefly, we've got four campuses. We've had four campuses operating in the nation of Ukraine, where we've lived for the past 12, going on 13 years now. And because of the conflict down in the southeastern part of the country, and especially in Crimea, where we've lived for 12 years, we had to relocate from there about a year and a half ago. I don't have to go into any more detail. I'm sure you all are familiar with what's taken place there. So we're living now in western Ukraine and kind of doing a restart of everything that's going on. But we went from about 255, 256 students down to about 20 students, because we had to put a couple campuses on pause there, and now we're back and kind of restarting everything. So the nation is still hungry. The people are desirous of so much more of God. There's great things going on there, and we'll have an opportunity to talk about that another time. So let's jump in. Amen? Yes. Hallelujah. Evangelism. Praise the Lord. Well, we're going to ask a couple of questions right off the bat, so you can, if you're taking notes, you're welcome to do that. We want to answer a couple of questions. Number one, who wants it done? Evangelism, who wants it done? Amen? Because if this is something we're going to feel passionate about, if this is something we're going to find some understanding about, we better understand where the commission comes from. Amen? Of course, we can go and we can take a look at the end of the book of Matthew, the end of the book of Mark, and we can see some things there that Jesus said to his disciples. But we're going to take a look at another place. Let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 2. My gosh, I don't know if I can talk this fast for 30 minutes. 1 Timothy chapter 2, y'all hang on, all right? You believe with me for speed and efficiency. 1 Timothy chapter 2, hallelujah. Paul is teaching his son in the faith, Timothy, and he says this, beginning of verse 1, I exhort therefore, first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority. Why? So that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. Amen? God's got a purpose. Yes. Amen? What is his purpose? That we would lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. Why is that necessary? Because when those kind of conditions exist, we have the freedom and the opportunity to preach the gospel. Amen? To evangelize where we are, to have an impact on people's lives. When nations are stirred up in turmoil, like things have been over where we live for the past couple of years, it's not easy. It's still possible. People's hearts are open, but it's not easy to move around freely and do the things that you're called to do. Amen? So he said, let's pray. Amen? Notice this, verse 3, he continues, for this is good and acceptable. What's he talking about? Praying for kings and for others that are in authority. Amen? This is good and acceptable. It's good and acceptable that men pray everywhere. Amen? This is something we should all be involved in. You don't need a special commission to pray. You just need to open your mouth. Amen? This is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. Notice verse 4. This is my focus here. God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved. Amen? It's His desire. It's His desire that all men would be saved. The reason He sent Jesus is so that all men would be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. Amen? That's why Jesus came. That's why Jesus did what He did, because the Father sent Him. Why? Because God would that all men be saved. Now, let me ask you this. Just because the Scripture says plainly, God desires all men to be saved, are all men saved? No, of course not. I'm sure every one of us knows somebody who's not. So just because the Scripture states plainly that it's God's will that all men be saved, that does not mean that God's will comes to pass automatically, does it? We have a part to play. Amen? If the previous few Scriptures were not enough, the necessity of us praying, the necessity of us believing God, the necessity of us recognizing authorities and praying for those authorities, if that instruction is not enough, right here we understand it is God's will that men be saved, but we have a part to play in bringing that to pass. Amen? We're talking about evangelism. Amen? Hallelujah. So, why does He want it done? Thank you for asking. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 4. Hallelujah. I'm slowing down. I got to speed back up again. Ready? Ephesians chapter 4. Why does He want it done? You're familiar with this portion of Scripture. This is nothing new here. When you're in a church that's called Rhema Bible Church, believe me, the few Scriptures we share are not going to be new revelation. Hopefully, it's going to be a reminder to you of what you already know. Amen? An inspiration to continue doing the good things you're doing. Amen? So, Ephesians chapter 4, Notice again what Paul says here. He says, where could we go? Verse 7, unto every one of us is given grace. Unto every one of us. Every one of us. Every one of us. Say every one of us. Unto every one of us is given grace. What does that mean? God's divine power and ability working in every believer to do what is right. That's our definition for grace in the Bible school. God's power, His ability, working in every believer. Amen? Unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Amen? Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Gifts. Amen? Drop on down to verse 11, and he gave some. What's that talking about? The gifts that God gave. It says he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists. That's talking about a person in the fivefold ministry. That's talking about the gift that's given through a person. There are evangelists that are called to evangelism, but there's also the body of Christ that is called to do our part. So we're not separating ourselves from the fivefold ministry. Rather, we're locating those with whom God can use to influence us the most in a practical way, in a practical application, in practical instruction, in how to do the work of the ministry. Amen? Amen? Fivefold ministry gifts. Hallelujah. He gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. Why? Thank you for asking. For the perfecting of the saints. The gifts are given for the perfecting of the saints. That's you and me. Amen? I always enjoy talking about the saints thing over there, especially in the former Soviet Union, because, you know, you can go back into some of those older cities where they have some of the very steeped in tradition Russian Orthodox churches, and, you know, they've taken a number of these old respected Orthodox people, wrapped them up, mummified them, and stuck them down in the catacombs and places under the city of Kiev. And you can go and pay a fee to go through there and run your finger across that mummified body. And doesn't that sound like fun? Saints. Do you think those are the saints that Paul is talking about? I don't think so. Amen? We're not talking about those saints. We're talking about these saints. Amen? For the perfecting of the saints. Whatever perfection those guys attained has already been attained. They're not being perfected no more. As a matter of fact, they're being corrupted. You understand what I'm talking about? The perfecting of the saints is what's happening here in this body right now today as we gather. Amen? For the perfecting of the saints. Why do the saints need to be perfected? For the work of the ministry. Hallelujah. Amen? When they have a tool factory where they make tools. I grew up on a farm, so I handled tools the first, you know, 17, 18 years of my life on the farm, fixing tractors and fixing farm implements and stuff like that. We had a lot of tools. And some tools you get from a very good quality tool supplier, they're polished and they're smooth, and you know, you can switch hands with them and stick them in your pockets, do all kinds of stuff. And every now and then you get a tool that's pretty rough, and you stick it in your pocket and it rips a hole in your pocket, you know, ends up down in your boot somewhere. And the guys who make these tools are refined. They put them through a refining process of knocking off the rough edges, the burrs and things like that, to make it easier to use. Amen? The perfecting of the saints for the work of the ministry. Amen? These men and women that God has placed these gifts in are for the purpose of us being perfected for the work of the ministry. Why? For the edifying, the building up, the strengthening, and the growth of the body of Christ until we all come into the unity of the faith. Amen? We're talking about evangelism. Our question number two is, why does he want this done? Amen. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry. Amen. Number three, how are we going to get it done? Well, we could discuss all kinds of things. We could discuss methods and systems and handouts and all those kind of things. You guys are just starting a month in evangelism. I'm quite certain that Pastor Alex and others here are going to be presenting those kind of things to you. It's all a part of what we're calling the month of evangelism. But for today, I want to focus on something a little bit different. Amen? So, what is it that goes into our method? Let's go to Ephesians chapter 3. Back up to Ephesians chapter 3. Let's take a look at something here that Paul says. He talks about verse 2, that he asks, if you've heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given to me towards you, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery. Amen. Then in verse 4, again, he talks about the mystery. Verse 5, he describes a little bit about how it was before and how it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. Notice verse 6, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of the promise in Christ by the gospel. By the gospel. We're talking about evangelism. Paul's saying, listen, through this preaching of the cross, through this mystery of sharing that it is Christ in you, the hope of glory, through that, God is joining together everyone in one body. Amen? That's what he's saying. Now, he's writing to Gentiles. He's writing to the believers in Ephesus. But he's making it plain that this is not a thing about us and them. Amen? It's not an issue of somebody believing this and we're believing that, and here's, you know, these groups of people and everybody's coming to God their own way. No, that's not it. Through Christ, we are all being made one. Amen? That's the message, that God is reuniting all of humanity under one banner, and that is the banner of Jesus Christ, His Son, our Lord, our Savior, our Redeemer. Amen? Hallelujah. It's no longer us and them. It's we. Amen? Yes. Hallelujah. That's the good news. Amen? Yes. Notice, we'll go on a little further. Partakers of the promise and the gospel in Christ by the gospel, verse 6. Verse 7 says, whereof I was made a minister according to, notice what he says, the gift of grace given unto me by the effectual working of his power. I like this verse 8. Unto me who am less than the least of all saints, that is this grace given, notice, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. The unsearchable riches of Christ. I just kind of want to camp there for a while, and, you know, we may only be here. We'll see what kind of time we have. But this phrase he uses, the unsearchable riches of Christ. Amen? I remember when I was a Bible school student at Rhema, and there were some guys there Pastor Hagen had designated as leading evangelism. And these guys, you know, they would put them in the announcements. They would mention they're having a meeting over here, having a meeting over there. And one of the guys that was doing that at Rainbow Bible Church at that time was a fellow from Minnesota. His name was Tom. And I was, as I said, raised in Minnesota. So I thought, you know, I'd have an opportunity to go and meet with Tom and just say, you know, Tom, I really appreciate the things that you're doing leading this evangelism team, you know, going out and doing this stuff. But I said, you know, I've never really done much evangelism, and I'm really, you know, Scripture talks about the fivefold ministry gifts, and I said, I just really want to let you know I appreciate the evangelist in, you know, and I was trying to distance myself from the response. Diplomatically distance myself from the responsibility. And Brother Tom reached out, and he grabbed me by the arm. He looked at me. He said, Brother, are you saved? And I said, yes, sir, I am. He said, if you're saved, you already know everything you need to know to go and share the gospel of Jesus Christ with somebody else. You already know what you need to know. Amen? It doesn't require something else. Now, the question is, what do you share when you get in that position? I like what Paul says here. The unsearchable riches of Christ. Amen? I was reading some material about this recently, and the author, a gentleman who was a well-known minister 100 years ago, writing, he was talking about this phrase, the unsearchable riches of Christ, and I like the illustrations he gave. He talked about it as if, you know, Paul is giving the impression as if he were a miner working down in a mine, and he's picking away at this vein of ore, this vein of silver, whatever it is. He's picking away at this vein of gold. And the more he picks away at it, the more it opens up and opens up and opens up and opens up. And pretty soon he finds himself in a cave, in a cavity, if you will, down in the earth. And he's absolutely surrounded by gold. Surrounded by silver, surrounded by ore, surrounded by what he's been searching for. He's dug in and dug in and dug in, and here he is, surrounded the unsearchable riches of Christ. Amen? Any of you guys a fisherman? Anybody like to fish besides me? My gosh, what do you guys do for entertainment in Germany? You go to Holland and eat pancakes? That's what we did yesterday. Biggest pancake I've ever seen in my life. I love to fish. And another illustration of this same thing is the man, you know, up in Minnesota where I'm from, those areas were just discovered about 150, 200 years ago. They were just discovered. And there were guys who would get in canoes with Native Americans, and they would paddle up these rivers and get back in there drawing maps and stuff. And they got back in those places, and they'd be going along some little creek. I've taken my sons and gone up there and fished some of these little places. Get back up in a creek, and they're paddling, and looking for a place maybe where the water comes out of the ground, and they come around a corner, and all of a sudden, here's this lake. Hundreds of acres of water teeming with fish. Every fisherman's dream. Amen? Virgin waters. Nobody has ever been there. Never seen a boat. Never seen a paddle. Never seen a hook, line, and sinker. The unsearchable riches of Christ. Amen? The more you look, the more He reveals. Amen? The more you seek, the more you find. Amen? The more you devote yourself to the study of the unsearchable riches of Christ, the more it opens up to you. Amen? And you can only do that for so long before you've got to find somebody and grab them by the hand and say, "Brother, do you know Christ?" There's only so much of that you can stand. You know, the sponge can only get so full until it starts to drip. Amen? Hallelujah? It's very difficult to find a believer who doesn't believe in evangelism, because actually that's how you became a believer. But it becomes a challenge sometimes to find believers who recognize that they have something of value to share with someone else. And the devil will work overtime to try to keep you in this place where you feel like, what do I have to share? Listen, brother, sister, if you're born again, you already have a jumping off place. And if you're not sure beyond that, I urge you, get back into the Word. Amen? Get back into the epistles. Get back into the Pauline revelation. Get back into that place where Scripture talks about the mystery. Amen? Dig into those places where He talks about riches. I'm going to give you a very short list of Scriptures. Amen? You ready? Are you writing? Glory to God. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 7. Hallelujah. In whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. Amen? Again, chapter 1 and verse 18. Notice what he says, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that we may know what is the hope of His calling, and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in us, the saints. Amen? Chapter 2 and verse 7, still in Ephesians, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. Amen? We're mining. We're mining. Over there in chapter 3 again, we'll go a little further down in that chapter. Look at verse 16. It says that He would grant you according to the riches of His glory to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in your inner man. Over in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 19, but my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Amen? And then over in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 27, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Amen? Hallelujah. Paul had seen, he had perceived, he had intimate knowledge of the value of what God's desire is towards man. And because he had that, he had to go and share it with others. He had to go. He was compelled, he said. Amen? Let us be compelled to go. Amen? Hallelujah. Let me pray for you. Heavenly Father, we praise you. We thank you for this time we've had together today. As brief as it was, Father, we believe that there were seeds of greatness sown in the hearts of every listener. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you that your word goes into the lives of men and women, causes them to be changed into your likeness more and more every day. Father, in Jesus' name, I just pray over that seed that's been sown, and I thank you, Father, it'll bring forth fruit and fruit that remains. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you for your anointing on this group of people, Father, to go and to do what you've called them to do. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you that their families are being changed, their workplaces are being changed, their schools are being changed and impacted by your glory. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you that this community is being changed because of this family of believers. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you that your word is true and that it produces in our lives. In Jesus' name. And everyone who believes said,
amen.
Amen. Thank you.
Yes, Lord, we want to lift up your name. And we want to bring that name out there into this world so that each and everyone will hear and will know about the goodness of our God and that the enemy truly is defeated and we live a life in victory. If you're here this morning and you have actually never met this Jesus we are talking about, the one who has defeated this enemy, the one who is actually was willing to go on this cross and die for you out of love, who was willing to shed his blood for you, then please don't leave this place this morning without receiving him as your personal Lord and Savior. This is an opportunity you do not ever want to miss. You know, sometimes you have these one-time opportunities, you know, and if you miss them, you go like, ugh! You know, this is an opportunity you definitely don't want to miss, okay? So if you have no idea what we're really talking about, if you have never experienced Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, then please, while we are closing the service and people will go in this direction to grab their coffee, their tea, and to mingle with the other part of our church who are coming in for the German service, then please make your way up front to us so that we can introduce you to Jesus. Don't miss this opportunity, please. If you're here and you said there are some things in my life, I need you to stand with me because it feels like that I'm not really walking in victory. I need somebody to pray with me, agree with me in prayer. Or if you have not been filled with the Holy Ghost yet, with the evidence and speaking in other tongues, please, while everybody goes this way, you come this way, okay? We are here for you. Don't worry, we will keep coffee for you, okay? But let's first take care of the serious business in life. Thank you for being here. God bless you. Fellowship with the rest of them. Have an awesome and fantastic week, okay? And we see you latest next Sunday. Love you guys.